From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Today on Let the Bible Speak, we'll be hearing from Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina, as he concludes his sixth message in an extensive series of studies in the book of Joshua. Joshua had dispatched two spies to search out the defenses of Jericho. The harlot Rahab hid them from their pursuers and confessed that this city was in great fear because of what God had already done for Israel. In the course of this message, Dr. Cairns has been drawing parallels between Rahab's coming to trust in Israel's God and the way the Lord works in the hearts of sinners to bring them to salvation in Christ. The first step for Rahab and for every lost soul is the recognition of being under the condemnation of God, which results in the conviction of sin. Then the convicted sinner must trust in the cleansing power of the blood of Christ, symbolized by the scarlet thread Rahab placed in her window. Her trust was not disappointed, for God saw to it that the forces of Israel could not mistake the location of her house on the wall of Jericho. Likewise, the hopes of those who rest in Christ for salvation will never be disappointed. The faith of Rahab was abundantly rewarded, for in addition to being saved physically and spiritually, she became a direct ancestor of the Lord Jesus Christ. In just a few minutes, Dr. Cairns will conclude this message entitled, Rahab, a Picture of Salvation by Grace Through Faith. First, he delivers a sobering warning about the punishment of sin.
You've heard of people whistling in the dark. You know what that means. People pretending nonchalance while all the time they're scared out of their wits, afraid to face the reality of a situation that's confronting them. Whistling in the dark, trying to appear happy, unconcerned, when deep down they know that there's every reason to be concerned and to be deeply worried about what's facing them. Most sinners whistle in the dark. Let me ask you a question. Is there a hell? When you put that question to people across America, many people will say no. Even the people who say they believe that there is a heaven will say, no, I don't believe there's a hell. That's whistling in the dark. Conscience warns every one of us to flee from the wrath to come. The law of God written in the heart reminds every man that he is accountable to God, that there is a moral accountancy, that God is his judge, and that he will stand before God and give account of the deeds done in the body. No man out of Christ can honestly or wisely look forward to that occasion, because he knows that when the searchlight of God's purity and God's law, God's justice, is turned upon his heart and his life, he cannot and will not measure up. So what do most people do? They simply dismiss the thought. They whistle in the dark. They come up with all sorts of crazy little excuses for not running to Christ for mercy to find God's answer for their sin. They come up with every sort of excuse why they should not immediately repent and be converted. They tell themselves that surely God wouldn't send them to a lost eternity. Surely it can't be so that there is a place of everlasting separation from God and everlasting punishment for sin. Surely they could not possibly perish. Surely their good works will be good enough. Surely God will take their excursions to church into account and their giving to the poor into account. surely. And so they go on and on and on and on with their little whistles in the dark. My friend, I may tell you, I don't believe in the moon. Doesn't change the fact the moon is there. You may tell me you don't believe in hell, but the Bible says you're wrong. Jesus Christ warns you of that awful place. So do not whistle in the dark. The Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Those in the book of life are the blood-washed, the converted, the saved, believers in Jesus Christ, God's people purchased by the blood of Christ's atonement. They and they alone are written in the book of life. Let me ask you, my friend, is your name in that Lamb's book of life? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you redeemed by Christ's sacrifice at Calvary? Have you ever come by personal faith to trust him as your Savior? If you're a Christian, you don't need to whistle in the dark, because Christ is your light, and he has dispelled the darkness and given you the certainty of eternal light, life, and liberty with him in everlasting glory.
Listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We're delighted that you tuned in today, and we're especially grateful for those of you who make this program a regular part of your day. The response to these broadcasts has been most encouraging. Your words of appreciation and support mean a great deal to us as we seek to proclaim the unsearchable riches of Christ. Our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, briefly sets out the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church. That and any other literature we offer on these broadcasts is free for the asking. You may contact us by email, by telephone, or by regular mail. You may write to Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. You may email us at ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Also, if you enjoy the programs, you may like to join us on our website, Let the Bible Speak Radio, or ltbsradio.com. Don't forget that word radio, ltbsradio.com. In addition to the regular programs, the website contains video clips of Dr. Cairns answering questions regarding various issues, such as, why don't Jews accept Jesus as the Messiah? Does God practice deliberate deception? Or why doesn't God save everybody? These video portions are listed under Q&A with Alan Cairns. You're sure to find these presentations to be informative and enlightening. Q&A with Alan Cairns is found on ltbsradio.com.
The walls of Jericho, contrary to the Negro spiritual, did not come tumbling down. If the walls of Jericho had come tumbling down, Israel would have had a mighty hard job ever reaching the people inside. For they were massive double walls. The walls of Jericho sank down into the ground. I found it fascinating, though archaeologists dispute and discuss these things, and you would think that you'd heard the last word when you've read one of them and you realize that they've only been giving you their own fancies and foibles. But I found it very interesting when I visited the site of Jericho. Only once was I able to get inside the wire. I don't know why, the guides brought us right up where there was an excavation where obviously an entire wall, still intact, had sunk right down into the ground. Not only so, but where what had been wood was now charcoal because it had been burned with fire. I don't suppose you're supposed to do it, but we were allowed on that occasion to poke some of the charcoal out. And some experts reckon, I think with good justification, that the dating is from the day of Joshua. Just think of the walls sinking down into the ground. But there's one part of the wall that doesn't sink. There's one part that stands. God was not leaving it to any chance that Rahab would be overlooked. Oh, there was the line in the window, and they saw the line. And I have no doubt that those men made sure they were
at that particular part of the wall when the crucial moment came. But in the event, there was no chance that Rahab could be mistaken or her house could be mistaken, because it was the only one left standing. Her hope was not disappointed. The day is coming, my friend, when this world is going to burn. The day is coming when all the great structures of man are going to fall. A day when mighty men will fall, great buildings will fall, great empires will fall. Every bondman and every free man will be looking for a place to hide from the curse and wrath of the Lamb of God. But I want to tell you, in that day, not one believer in Jesus Christ will fall. Not one. The hope of the Christian will never be disappointed. The prophet Isaiah says that he that believes will not be ashamed. He will not be put to shame. Our hope will never be disappointed. Certainly, when we look at Rahab, we see a beautiful picture of what God promises to us. She was saved or pardoned. It's interesting. There are two great writers on the subject of justification in the New Testament. One is Paul and one is James. Paul speaks of how to obtain justification by faith. And he says Rahab's an example of that. Hebrews 11:31. James speaks of justification and how it is proven by a faith that produces the fruit of works. And again, he uses Rahab as an example. In the voice of two witnesses then, this great truth is established. This woman was really saved. She wasn't just saved out of Jericho, she was saved out of hell. She was pardoned. She was justified by grace through faith. A faith that was so real that it produced godly works. But not only that, she was accepted. This is one of the most amazing things in the whole Old Testament. Throughout the Old Testament, throughout the Bible, any time Rahab is mentioned, there are two ways in which the name Rahab is used. She's always Rahab, and associated with that, she's the harlot. The name Rahab is also used in Scripture as a description of the land of Egypt. Now, that's not a very flattering thing. If you had your name used to describe Sodom, for instance, you wouldn't think that it was a very flattering thing for you. So that's the picture of Rahab by nature. And yet, when God pardoned her, he just didn't say, and the Israelites just didn't say, well, now, we have saved you from Jericho. We're going to make you a servant. We're going to make you a slave. They could have done that, but they didn't. No, they accepted her. And we find Joshua 6:25, she dwelleth in Israel even unto this day. Not only did they accept her, but they exalted her. They exalted her. She came into Israel. She was no longer Rahab the harlot. She was no longer Rahab the Canaanitess. She was Rahab, whom God had saved by an act of stupendous grace. God had pardoned and God had accepted into the company of his people. And therefore, according to Matthew chapter 1, verse 5, she was the mother of Boaz, the husband of Ruth. She was one of the great, you get a few greats in there, grandmothers of David. She was in the line of Christ. Think of that. God found her in Jericho, condemned, wicked, a harlot, unclean, deserving of hell. God convicted her. God converted her. God brought her under His covenant. He forgave her. He accepted her. He exalted her. This is the story of grace. Time forbids that I go through the scriptures this morning on this. If you start in Deuteronomy 32, verse 9 through 13, you'll find this is the story of Israel, where God found Jacob and what He did with him. It's the story of every sinner saved by grace. Hannah said, "He raiseth up the poor out of the dust and lifteth up the beggar from the dunghill to set them among princes and to make them," listen, "inherit the throne of glory." Paul spoke in Acts 20, verse 32, when he commended the saints at Ephesus to God and the word of His grace, which is able to build you up, he says, "and to give you an inheritance among them which are sanctified." Can you imagine that? Where did God find you? On the dunghill. Might have been the dunghill of religion. Might have been the dunghill of drunkenness, drugs, immorality, worldliness, wickedness, or whatever. But it was a dunghill. Don't be in any doubt about that. But where does He bring you? He brings you to have an inheritance among the sanctified on the throne of glory. I'm not going to quote Ephesians 2, 4 through 7, for if I do, I would not be very successful in resisting the temptation to expatiate upon them. So I leave them before you. Read them very carefully, of how God is rich in mercy, where He found us, what He did for us, and what He's going to do for us in the ages which are to come. Listen to what James says. James chapter 2, verse 5. "Hearken, my beloved brethren. Hath not God chosen the poor of this world, rich in faith, heirs of the kingdom, which He hath promised to them that love Him?" Heirs of the kingdom. When we get to heaven, what are we going to sing? Revelation 5:10. We're going to sing to Christ, who has made us unto our gods kings and priests, and we shall reign on the earth. Now here's God's salvation. Salvation by grace, salvation through faith. It's the very same salvation that Rahab received. It's the very same salvation that you can receive today. There's none so good that He doesn't need it. There's none so bad that He can't receive it. Rahab, an illustration, I hope you will never forget, of salvation by grace through faith in that scarlet line of Jesus' blood, the blood of perfect atonement. Father in heaven, we do thank Thee that the God who saved Rahab is still alive and saving souls today. We thank Thee for every man, woman, and young person in this meeting who can lift up a heart of praise and exaltation and say, "God has done this for me. He has lifted me from sinking sands. He has lifted me with tender hands. He has lifted me from the city of destruction and has placed me among the sanctified. among the heirs of the kingdom of His glory. Our God and Father, we rejoice that Thou art mighty to save, that salvation is Thy special delight. And, O God, we pray, have mercy on those in this meeting unsaved. Search them out, even as Thou didst search out Rahab. Search them out in the city of destruction. Lord, give them a deep conviction and bring them, we pray, under the bond of the covenant by faith in Jesus Christ. Hear our prayer and part us now with Thy very richest blessing. Grant that the grace of our Lord Jesus, the love of God our Father, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit our Comforter may be our portion now and evermore. Amen.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.